The pandemic, it's messing with us. It's messing with our concept of time. It's causing us sleep problems. I feel scatterbrained. Brain feels mushy. I can't concentrate. Just feel overall sluggish. Listen, it's not just you, and it's not your fault. It truly is a result of being under quarantine. And here to explain it all to us is a neuropsychologist and associate professor and director of neuropsychology services at the University of California in San Francisco and San Francisco General Hospital. It's Dr. Christina Weyer Jamora. Hi, Doc. How are you?
Hi, how are you? It's such a pleasure to be here today. And a quick shout out to all my family and friends in the Chicagoland area. It's so nice to be here.
Oh, do you have a lot of friends and family here?
I do. And so they were so blessed and excited for to be able to have me speak a little bit and share the love. So thank you so much for the invitation.
Oh, my goodness. We're just so thrilled that you're here with us because this has been a topic of conversation of just feeling like I've heard of pregnancy brain before, but this feels like, what is this, quarantine brain? What is happening to my cognitive skills? I can't remember anything.
It is, and it is not your fault. You are so right. And so the body is just trying to fight against all of this stress. You know, a lot of us have heard of fight or flight, and that's really what we're in. We're working in a crisis, and our body is trying to do the best it can. And what that means, unfortunately, is it brings some things online and other things offline, and we keep getting this hit of cortisol again and again, and it is really the body and the brain are just doing the best they can, and it has an effect. It absolutely has a cognitive effect.
Just so glad that you're here, because we've been hearing a lot about anxiety and depression and sort of the emotional and mental effects of it, but not a lot about what it's doing to our cognitive health. So Dr. Jamora, do you mind just explaining what cognitive health is?
Yes, it's just a 50-cent word to say your thinking skills. It really is. And what we know is that the body in the context of this fight or flight will release something called cortisol. And it's really the hypothalamic pituitary axis or HPA axis that is influencing our thinking skills. And it negatively impacts our sleep-wake cycle, increased cortisol and serotonin, the dysregulation of that can mess with our sleep-wake cycle, and we're staying up later and not getting up at the right times as we had before, might not even feel tired. It also can negatively impact our attention and concentration. As we get less sleep, we're just not really the best version of ourselves, having a hard time with paying attention and multitasking and all of the rest. So it is a real problem. And I think there are some great things that you can help to do to just loosen the effects up and not feel such in the grip of it.
So this is why we can't remember what day of the week it is, because we're out of our routine.
Out of our routine, so we have markers in our life that tell us what Tuesday is. It's trash day, it's that meeting on Thursday. It's like, oh yeah, this Thursday. And some of those things, some of those anchors have fallen away, right? So humans are better with recognition or recognizing things, and we have shortcuts that our brain's a storyteller. It's not a Xerox machine, and so we have ways, we have shortcuts, and some of those shortcuts have fallen away because we're not seeing the people that we see typically. We're not doing our typical thing, so we feel a bit discombobulated.
You mentioned multitasking. Is it true that some people are innately better at multitasking than others, or is it something that you can learn? And how is this quarantine and pandemic affecting our ability to multitask?
That's a great question. So there's this recent study out of Stanford that says that multitasking doesn't exist, and that, which I think is interesting. It's a bit severe, but it is, we monotask, but we switch really quickly. And so we do something and then we switch to something else, but we're really kind of sequentially doing things. And interestingly, the people that think they're the best at it are not as good as they think.
Really?
And so they just kind of attribute certain things to certain things. So they kind of see these successes, and it's a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. But we know that whenever you're experiencing elevated levels of cortisol, that your multitasking is that much worse. And switching between things, we're not as flexible. We have a harder time being able to manage all of the new things, like homeschooling our children, and also all of our existing things. So things take twice as long and get half as done.
Is there a lot of research out there about cognitive skills and how a quarantine affects cognitive skills, or isolation affects our ability to think?
Well, I don't think that we've been at this place for a very, very long time. So I don't think that there are really good systematic studies. We do have more literature on chronic stress and the effects of chronic stress. And there can be, you know, there can be some pretty significant effects in terms of chronic stress on the brain and the body. But in terms of quarantine and, you know, randomized controlled trials and, you know, those sorts of that level of data, we just, from what I understand, we don't have that yet.
Well, Dr. Jamora, you are a neuropsychologist. What does that mean? That sounds very important and like you had to go to school for many years to do that.
I think what my family and I talk about is that I just couldn't stop. And that I just couldn't stop thinking about the things that I was interested in. It's really the study of brain-behavior relationships. So how your brain and behavior work together to be able to do a task. And so what that means is, for example, if I am going to homeschool my children, there's a sequence of things I need to do in advance. I need to plan. I need to get a sense of what the teacher's saying. I need to be able to get all that information down on an organized list. And it takes attention and concentration, be able to pay attention to do that, remember what the teacher's name is. It takes being able to orchestrate all of those things in a sequence. It takes executive functioning. So all of those things are things that I just blow my hair back and I love learning more and more about. And also not just about those things, but then how to optimize that and get a little bit better with what you have. So making the best use of what you have and getting better at that.
So it's normal right now that everything seems harder, and I mean everything as in whether you're, it's so funny because I have friends that are saying, I have never done so little, but it just feels exhausting to people that are essential workers that are in overdrive and of course are exhausted, but it's normal that everything feels so hard right now.
It is. It is very normal, and that our brain is just not able to process as much information, and because we are just not able to take in as much and do as much as quickly with it. So practicing that progress rather than perfection is very, very important, that we're doing the best we can, and we're not working really. We're working in a crisis. And I think that's a really important distinction to remind ourselves.
Is the problem that we're overstimulated or understimulated?
Well, I think it is a little bit of both. If I think about it, I think that every time that we are digging into the details of all the new coronavirus deaths, we're getting a cortisol hit. We're getting I'm stressed again. So we're having to kind of, again, our body has to come up and come down from that. So we're overstimulated in terms of the amount of information, but then we're understimulated in terms of the things that give us value and worth. We're understimulated in terms of the relationships that are so meaningful. I don't know how many patients I talk with, they miss hugs and they miss the love and care that they receive from real interaction, not Zoom interaction, real interaction. So I think in some ways we're overstimulated, in other ways, the meaningful ways, we're understimulated, which I think is very tough.
Can just, you know, you mentioned social interaction. So I'm thinking just social interaction and maybe just not physically moving as much as you normally would, that can affect your ability to think?
Yes. So especially physical activity is really crucial for a lot of reasons. It can help with something called neuroplasticity. So it can strengthen those connections in the brain and help to reduce the effects of other cardiovascular diseases and and things like that. But also, it helps to give our mood a boost. It helps to really help us stay in some ways sane, so to speak. and not having enough physical activity can be very, very challenging, both from a neurologic and neurochemical perspective, but also from a sense of well-being and worth. And having less of that can be very challenging for many of us. And not having that social interaction, again, it's the good stuff of life. It's the meaning and joy and purpose that of our relationships that can be so crucial to buffer the effects of this stress. So we're getting all these stress hits of cortisol, and then we don't have our typical coping strategies to be able to neutralize that, which I think is a double whammy. And so all the more reason to be practicing that self-compassion and kindness and taking things a bit at a bit of slower cadence, because it is a hard time.
Well, that makes sense to me. We're talking with Dr. Christina Weyer-Jamora. She is a neuropsychologist. You mentioned taking things a little bit slower. Is that one of the ways that we can optimize what cognitive skills we do have left in this crisis?
Yes.
How do I help myself right now?
Absolutely. So practicing noticing when you're getting off track. So I'll be working on something, and then I'll get a ding on my email, and then I'll go down a rabbit hole. So I need to catch it. I need to catch myself. I need to check it. Like, whoa, I got to check myself and change it. So I need to go back. I need to catch it, check it, change it. I need to get back on task. And not take another cortisol hit. I need to keep away from that.
Right.
I need to keep away from that. So reducing non-gratifying stimulation. So trying to really reduce some of your contact with the details. You can, of course, we want to know what's going on and headlines, but really reducing our contact with the details can, again, support this reduction in cortisol and be able to allow us to cope a little bit better.
Wow. Are there any other things we can do, like things we eat or like that can help with our cognitive skills? And you mentioned the neuroplasticity about keeping that around a bit longer.
Yeah, so wanting to make sure that we're eating a good, healthy diet, and I think that those tenets always exist. We're wanting to make sure and eat regular meals, not go into extremes where we don't eat for hours and hours and then overly stuff ourselves and feel miserable. So having a really good kind of common sense approach and healthy lifestyle. I think there's also been a pretty significant uptick of alcohol use. I think
yes.
In some areas it's been like over 200%. Increase in alcohol use. And that also is not great for the brain. It's just not, alcohol is a neurotoxin and it isn't great for the brain. So in moderation, so, taking care of yourself, that if you're above more than a couple drinks a day or three drinks a day, then and really kind of beginning to look at that, like, whoa, I'm overusing one tool. Not everything's a hammer. Not everything's a nail. We got to kind of break it up a little bit, so that way we're able to not add to the challenges that we're experiencing.
And what about, should I do crossword puzzles? How do I get this brain into shape?
Yeah, so it's interesting. There's this study about use of crossword puzzles and other kind of cognitively in enjoyable tasks, and they just didn't find a lot of transfer effects to day to day life.
Okay.
So you can do it; it's not going to hurt you, but it might not give you what you need. So I usually encourage people to do is do some problem solving about the things that are bugging you the most. So if you're losing your keys or your wallet, having an assigned place for that. If you're always feeling like under the gun whenever you're teaching your kids for homeschooling, doing some pre-planning to be able to take off the heat in the moment. Trying to make sure and do one thing at a time and have some to-do lists that are prioritized by time. So, for example, things I need to just do today, things I just need to do tomorrow, and things it would be nice to get around to. So making it a little bit more doable and less overwhelming and having that information live somewhere besides, floating around in your brain.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Christina Weyer-Jamora. Listen, you have shared a wealth of information. You've also been a ray of sunshine. So thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much. And again, it's not your fault. Your brain's just doing the best it can.
Thank you. That makes me feel so much better. Come back and talk to us anytime. Okay.
Always. Take care now.
Yes, you too. Thank you so much. Dr. Jamora is a neuropsychologist and associate professor and director of neuropsychology services at the University of California in San Francisco and San Francisco General Hospital.